It looks like I'm sleeping, but now I know all of history. Hi, welcome to Actual Play, the podcast. This is Stars That Number, episode 2, part 1, and we get to see all of our favorite cast and crew, Hope, Atlas, and Dartha, along with their friends like Timothy and Raven and Dr. Long, on Tarakon Station. The other thing that happened is we get the amazing feed vine created by Jay with some help from our friend Jed Carlman. The feed vine is the way Jay represented the faction turns taking place. So in between each episode, we got a new feed vine, which was updates on the vine. And they were official announcements. They were personal ads. It's a mix of, you know, kind of, looks like Twitter plus news updates. Very, very cool. A help request from Rabbit to Hope, maybe. A hot new squid on Land Bay 8. Could that be us? And green mercs. Could that be the folks we saw on Hades Kennel 3? I don't know. Let's find out. Also, let's find out about Hope and her trust issues, about Atlas and wanting to know, you know, how human he is and how human people think he is, and about Dartha and how she reaches out to people, how she connects with them. And some special powers being revealed too. So lots of good stuff on this first half in Tarakon Station. Hello and welcome to Actual Play, Stars That Number, Agents of Fear, or rather Agents of Fear. I am Sean Nittner. I use he, him pronouns. I'm real, real jazzed about this game. Not only do we have the coolest setup of an alien lithomorph captain and a just recently awoken AI and a defector pilot, but I get to play with these rad folks. So I'm playing Hope. Last session we docked at Tarakon Station, and instead of having like soldiers or people coming to arrest her, there was a bureaucrat that presented her with a compad full of, you know, 3 million creds of debt. So that I'm terrified of that debt, probably more than I am of soldiers. So I'm excited about that. On the channel as well, so sort of channel news, everybody knows this, but we are donating all of our proceeds from the channel to the the Trans Legal Defense Fund and the Black Lives Matter. So anything that you give us will be sent there. If you want to donate directly, that is also wonderful. Any way you can contribute is great. And I'll put in chat some other things, some actions that folks can take if donating is tough, because these are tough times. But anything you can do is wonderful. How about you, Dominique?
Hi, I'm Dominique. I use they, them pronouns. I'm playing Atlas, an AI who was asleep for 600 years and was recently awoken and is just trying to get his bearings and figure out what's happening in the world that he's woken into. And I'm really looking forward to finding out more about who created me as an AI and the circumstances of my creation. And also looking forward to delving deeper into my friendships with Hope and with Dartha, because I haven't had a friend in 600 years. I've been asleep.
Yeah, what's it like when AI sleep, right? I feel like someone wrote a book about that.
Maybe we dream of electric sheep.
How about you, Tomes?
Tomer, Tomes, he, him. I am playing Dartha, our little blobby lithomorphy alien. And as far as the real world, I'm actually very excited to play this game because it allows me to leave my earthly domain for a little bit, which I have been jonesing to do for a few days. And I'm looking forward to seeing how these relationships develop, because Dartha has a very strong need to be connected to a set of people. And this is like a thing with her species And so now that she's surrounded by these new people and she's lost some people, you know, how is this all going to kind of pan out? And one of these people is an AI, right? So like, how does that work for this weird survival mechanism that's normally kind of reserved for your own biology, right? So yeah, I'm intrigued. But that's it. Jay.
I'm Jay. It's been like a regular, really regular work week for me. So I'm happy to be here to get away from the regular work week. This is a crazy game. I'm excited about all the characters. It's not what it is off the scale of my imagination from the beginning. So I'm excited to see where you guys go next. I have no idea. I've got some notes, but it's like 4 bullet points. So I'm excited to see what we do.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like this is the game where you're like, okay, y'all are playing D&D. What are you characters? And we're like, we're dragon riders, sons of liches, and you know, forgotten rulers, right? And you're like, oh, okay, cool.
Okay.
I feel like that's right. What we did with this. We're like, we want Absolutely. To push the boundaries on everything.
Absolutely. And I'm like, let's do it then.
Yeah. So yeah, it's I'm real, real jazzed. We did a little touching up of the roll 20. So now you can all see Tarakon Station. We've designated a couple locations where things are. I don't know if you were reading the feed on your way in, but apparently there's some sweet squid in Landing Bay 8, and I didn't know if that was us or something else. So I was like, huh, that sounds ominous. And for folks who didn't see it also, our ship is called Squidly, the Sigma Quadrant Uniform Index Destabilizing Inversion Engine. Just happens to acronym to Squidly for no reason at all.
So, more importantly, it's shaped like a squid.
It's shaped like a squid.
That's right, it's shaped like a squid. Nice.
Yep.
So. I will say you are docked in Bay 8, so it could be you guys.
Ooh, okay.
It could be you.
Could be us. But Bay 8 is a big bay, I imagine. There's lots.
Yes,
lots,
it is. It's a big bay. Yes. Well, I guess what you have to ask yourself in the feed, they reference green robed mercs, and so if you guys have green robed mercs, then it's probably you.
Yeah, I mean we don't, but I do recall some green robed figures on Hades Kennel 3 where we were visiting. So maybe they came after us. I don't know.
Now I'm curious because I'm blanking on the NPC's name, but the.
You guys do know the best way to follow someone is to get there before they do.
Yeah. I mean, that stands to reason.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, we made a pretty darn quick getaway, and I rushed the spike drive calculations as well to get out of there. So I think someone would have been hard pressed to beat us here back from Hades Kennel. But you know, maybe they have communication in and out of it. I don't think Hope knows of any way to send signal into the black hole. You know, it absorbs all comms, but yeah, maybe they did. I don't know. Well, let's see. So I'm excited about it. So Jay, are we opening on the ship?
Yes, we are going to open on the ship docked in Bay 8. It's probably the next day. Let's go with that. Yeah. Maybe sometime in the late afternoon of the next day. This gives everyone time to... They have some downtime. They have time to do whatever you need to do on your own. But at some point, I figure folks are in between waiting for Dr. Long to come back so we can do a debrief and catching up on stuff. So like Hope is catching up on mechanics stuff. I think Dartha is on the ship. Maybe Dartha's helping. And at some point, Atlas shows up.
Cool.
And Atlas has been his new room on the station, which Dartha set him up with. and just downloading like article after article on the 600 years of history that he slept through and trying to get caught up on everything that he missed, and emerges from this like totally discombobulated and processing way too much information, and is kind of like trying to find some sort of social connection and trust Dartha, and assumes, or maybe just hopes, that she'll be back at the ship. So he heads that way.
When Atlas learns, does he like, is it like reading text, scanning super fast, or is it like direct, like plug it, like Neo Matrix style, like upload data?
I think it's just like downloading data, but because of the volume of data, because he'd want to be really diligent and do like history books, but also primary sources and like a variety of news articles. So it's a lot of data that has to be downloaded and processed. It would take like several hours to do like a data transfer of that size. But I think that it just looks like Atlas, like I think he would look like he was asleep, but he's just downloading data like from the internet, from the cloud or whatever it is that we would have in this timeline.
Right.
And it's all just going directly into his brain, and he's trying to process it and but would automatically be able to recall and remember any of it once it's been properly sorted and saved.
Nice.
I now know all of history.
Does Atlas's frame need to rest, need sleep?
I think Atlas is, I'm gonna say no, because it's an enhanced humanoid body and was able to survive being in, the vacuum for 600 years and not have any sort of like decay or damage to it. So I think with a body like that, you don't need sleep. Because that's my fear.
I mean, he's been recharging for 600 years. Come on. His batteries should be maxed out, right?
Yeah, I'm good to go. It's less that I'm sleeping than it is that I look like I'm sleeping while I'm sort of like, it's like doing a Windows update. It's a while, and it looks like I'm sleeping, but I'm really working.
I'm actually working.
Nice. Causing trauma. Awesome. So I think if it's cool, just to frame it, like Atlas is on his way.
Right.
Hope is outside. She's in a full vac suit. We can see the visor. Last time we saw that she had like a super dark visor to do the welding.
Right.
But something didn't work, and so she's talking over comms to Dartha in the cockpit, and being like, "Okay, can you transmit right now? You know, are you picking up this signal?" And she's sort of like asking you to test as she like disconnects and reconnects part things of like the transceiver on the hull. And that's the boring part of it. The important part of it is she's like, "What's up with Dr. Long just completely blowing us off? I think we just had the most important finding we possibly could have." Wait, did that work? No, okay. The most important finding we possibly could have. And he just said, "I don't have time for this." How can he not have time for this? This is the mission, capital T, capital M.
Was this to me, by the way?
Yeah, this is to Dartha. Right.
So that's fantastic. Hope, and again, this is, we're not seeing Dartha in this scene. We're hearing her voice over the, you know, over your comms, right?
Yeah.
And again, it kind of strikes us that her voice is very, it's like a very smooth, you know, older woman, kind of like human voice, right? And I keep like pinging on this because the few other times that we will see other lithomorphs or like little blob aliens, they have a little bit more of this kind of like weird vibration, kind of like squeaky, like it doesn't sound like a human voice. Right.
Mm-hmm. She's, it's not trained this voice.
Yeah, this is very trained.
Yeah.
And but we hear her over the comms, and she says, "Hope, I understand this. Things may not always go at the speed at which we want them to go, as far as negotiation or, you know, working with others, especially large government research agencies. However, we just need to keep in mind that as long as we stay on task and we work to our best ability, that I think we will come to where we need to go. And I don't know if you can trust me, but I really hope you can. I trust you.
Trust is a really hard thing for me, Dartha. It's not personal, and it's not that I have any reason not to trust you. I came here out of the blue from Irdos, and I don't know, I didn't expect a clerk to come and serve me a ridiculous bill. I expected to be chased down by soldiers, not bureaucrats. I expected that finding Atlas would be the biggest thing that anyone ever, I mean, if he's what we think he might be, I don't even know what we found, but it just feels like people should be a little bit more. Everyone seems to take this like way too calmly. And we see, even though we don't see Dartha, we see the cockpit like that she's in from Hope's view, like the power like goes as like she like severs the wrong line. She's like, let me redo that. And we can see like Hope using a little bit of her precognitive abilities, and it's not working on this bit of the ship. Like she keeps trying to like figure out what wire to cut, and it should be like, and she would like, we'd see like multiple iterations of it. And every time she gets to this like one part of the transceiver, it like doesn't, she's like, I don't know. And she kind of grumbles about it.
It sounds like you've had some pretty tough experiences. And all of a sudden, like, it, you know, it sounds like Dartha is doing this talk again, and she just stops and starts reciting these weird letters and numbers like X53- da 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 da. And there's a couple words in there. And like, we can see on your screen, maybe it, like it's recording these, you know, maybe like the automatic, you know, dictation computer is recording them in case you need to refer to them, you know, whenever.
Yeah, I get the, I have a chat log in my screen.
Yeah, you're, there's a little like blob emoji link attached, you know, that you can open up and get to some kind of like base-wide site or something like that, right? Like the internet of the time. And nice. If you're cool with it, like if you're cool with
keep going,
like,
keep
just checking it out. I think what Dartha does is just like give you her actual bank account, right? And password, right? This is like you fully have access to her funds. And she's not super well off, but you know, she is a paid, high-ranking research officer, so it's a significant normal amount of money. You won't be able to pay your debt even close, right? But you know, she's, and she doesn't say anything else, and she, and like that's the end of transmission.
Nice. Is that when Atlas arrives?
That's as so cute. Cool.
That is not yet. I have one thing for Atlas as Atlas is on his way to the ship.
Cool.
Okay, what's up?
So you leave your quarters and you start making your way toward the ship looking for Dartha. I think Timothy catches up to you.
Ooh, okay.
And he calls out your name. I'm assuming you've told everyone you're Atlas, right?
Yeah. And I would introduce myself as soon as I woke up.
Perfect. So he yells out, Atlas! Hey, Atlas! Wait up!
Hey, what's up?
I just came from the med bay, and the doctors there, you're scheduled for a medical. So they want to check you out, make sure you're okay. That, you know, everything's everything. I mean, you're 600 plus years old, so
I mean,
that's weird.
I feel okay, but I appreciate it. But I was on my way to find Dartha, actually. Can I go do that first, or is it right now?
Well, no, I'm going to the ship too, so
Okay, then let's head that way. And then I guess it can't hurt to get checked out. I'm kind of leery about like other people doing like maintenance type tasks on my meat suit, but if it's necessary, I'll do it.
I work on humans mostly. I can figure some stuff out on alien life forms sometimes, not always. I can't do anything for you. I don't know.
Then yeah, I'll see. There would be something that I'm missing. I have also studied a lot of human first aid, but more as like a personal hobby and not because it really applies to me, just because it interests me. Right. I'm not sure. I don't, from my understanding of history, humans haven't physically changed much. So my understanding of human first aid should still be above board, right?
Yeah, no, I think we've been the same at least the last 6 years.
You haven't evolved to like need your tonsils or anything, or like your appendix. I can still just take those.
If
it's necessary. I would never take your appendix if I didn't absolutely have
to. You haven't grown a third lung.
I'm good. I'm good.
And like your heart has 4 chambers. You have 2 lungs.
That's all. Those are humans.
Okay.
That's humans.
Okay, yeah. I'm relieved. Cool.
Some of us, like Hope, we have extra abilities. We're still trying to figure out why that is for some and not all. But some of us have written that off, and there are big training centers and schools for using those new abilities.
I've read a little bit about that, and I think that I should also talk to Hope, because there were some people on Hades Kennel who clocked me as an AI, and did you understand what happened there?
The guns, the weapons, they came out fast. I was trying to find a place not to get ventilated. And
I understand.
I don't.
There was this man who immediately upon looking at me, he didn't treat me like a person. He called me a thing. And I am a piece of advanced technology. So I guess in some human senses of the word, I am a thing, but I am also a person. And I was concerned about how he knew.
Well,
not necessarily human.
Do you have a power source?
No, I have, out of character, my like brain hard drive thing is, I have like a human body with like my brain hard drive thing is like a crystal like in my abdomen, but it's not visible from the outside.
Right.
But I would describe that more eloquently.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. He said, So again, I know the human body emits heat, right? And we have detectors and scanners, so we can figure out if humans are in a place by biosignatures and things like that. Maybe you have a signature. When you go get your physical, right? Maybe we can talk about that and figure that out. Maybe you have a signature and are able to detect that. That's all I got. I mean, you're not human, so I'm guessing.
Okay. Yeah, I'll ask. And it's my understanding that there aren't very many true AIs around anymore.
I know the station has one, but I don't know what's like. I didn't know there were like not true AIs, and so his knowledge about scientific data AI type stuff, right? It's limited. So that's a new concept for him. True AIs, not true AIs.
Versus like VIs.
Right. He just thinks VIs, AIs, it's all the same thing. Right.
Okay.
Because for like hundreds of years, that's been true, right? There haven't been a lot of AIs really anywhere.
There's like VIs that people treat like AIs, but they aren't really AIs. I think that Atlas would make a note of that and be like, I wonder if I can find an expert to talk to.
Right.
Who might have information about like the history of AI or AI compared to VI that's not public access that I wouldn't have found in my search of the database.
That's perfect. Yes. So I think at this point you guys enter Bay 8 and you can see the squiddy. And
I'm just looking out for Dartha because Dartha is my friend.
So I think Dartha's still inside the ship. So she's not immediately visible. But I think Hope might be because Hope is working outside the ship, right?
I think unless Timothy like just got immediately on the ship, I think I would stop and like try to get Hope's attention, but not while she's doing something like obviously dangerous or distracting her would be a liability. Right. I'm kind of like,
yeah, I think it's pretty easy because at some point she's like sitting kind of like she's like leaning back with her like her knees, the mag locks on her knees bolted to the ship, and she's just like floating in the air because she's like scratching her head, just being like, it wasn't that, it wasn't the other. She's definitely like taking a break to like figure out what to do, and she's just kind of floating like in orbit out there. And yeah, you can easily get her on comms, or you could like yell loud.
I think I would just wave and be like, hey, nice. How are you? Is Dartha inside?
Yeah. And I think she can't yell loud enough from there, but she's just like kind of, she pivots on the hull of the ship. She pivots on the hull of the ship. So she's facing down at you, and she sort of waves and gives like a thumbs up, like it's good to see you. And then when you say, is Dartha inside? She just sort of points into the hull.
Okay. Then I sort of like look to see if Timothy's going with me, but I go into the ship.
Yeah, no, he goes.
I think that gets her started back again. Like, all right, I gotta try another thing. And she goes back to the arc. You see like the arc well flashing as you're walking in.
I probably like yell good luck, but you don't hear me.
Nice.
Yeah, no, Timothy does. Okay. He is going in, so it looks like that was his destination too.
Cool. And inside, where is Dartha? Like immediately visible?
So I think not. I think you walk in and you're looking around, and then you kind of, I think you spot her, but she's, you know, I think the perception so far is like, oh, obviously she'll be like at, I don't know, some chair commanding something or talking, I don't know what, but like we see her kind of like leaning down at a console, which looks like a kind of engineering style maintenance console or something, and she's actually like doing some kind of like programming or something, like it doesn't look like high level stuff, right?
Yeah.
And this is my sneaky way of saying that she does have some programming background from a long time ago. There's a reason why this is important, but later. I don't think, maybe she doesn't even notice for a moment that you're there. Actually, a question for you as our resident AI, does your body give off any kind of like normal odor of like life form? Or
I think I function biologically similarly to a human, with just the difference that I'm going to say yes. Yeah. I don't have like a good explanation for it, but I want to say yes. And I think that it's because I am biologically like almost human. I'm just a really tough human.
Yeah.
It's really hard to kill me, but I still have most, like my body isn't like mechanical, it's like biological.
Okay. So I think maybe there's that moment. I don't know. What would you do if you saw me and I wasn't like, I was turned around and wasn't paying attention to you?
I think I would like stop, not like immediately behind you, but like far enough, like by you then not in your personal space, and just kind of be like, hey, how are you? And see if I got your attention. Perfect. I feel like Atlas has been trying very hard, especially since being woken up, to like seem very non-creepy and non-threatening in all of his interactions. And that would come across here as well, of being like, how do I like get your attention without startling you or getting too close or anything like that?
I love it. So if I can do like a very quick flashback to when we got you in your chamber back on the station. And I think we get there, and I think maybe you were saying I led you there, right? Like showed you the quarters, and you know, I think maybe you see that there's a terminal there, and you're like, oh, how do I get access to the terminal? Like that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, that's easy. And I go in, and we can see that I basically log in as myself, right? And I'm just like, yeah, you should have access to everything. Right. And we see this total parallel to kind of just what happened with Hope.
You have such bad internet security, Dartha.
Totally. Like that does not seem to be a concern, right? At least not for Dartha. And so I just kind of like log you straight in, and I'm like, you know, if you need anything, and this is how you get a hold of me and that kind of stuff. And so I just turn to you at this moment, and I'm like, oh, did you find everything that you needed in our library?
I got a lot of information. It was kind of overwhelming, and I'm still running like sub processes to sort it all out and save it appropriately. But yeah, I downloaded a large amount of files and should know a lot as soon as that all finishes processing.
So I think this is a moment where we see Dartha's looking at you, and I'm like listening in, right? Like to yeah. your words. And I'm like, that's so interesting. You're using such technical words for what you've done, but there's so much biology behind it. And I don't think we really know exactly what she's talking about exactly, right? But my psychic ability, like there is a upgrade, which I've not taken yet, which allows me to do that thing where it's kind of like telepathy with AIs.
Oh, that's sick. Okay.
So I think this is like a hint at what that might be someday. Right? Like, I'm kind of like talking to you and I'm hearing you talk. And yeah, you even used words like, you know, download and process, you know, that are very robotic sounding. But I get these feelings off of you as if you're, you know, a biological, like sentient creature, right? Yeah. Which I normally wouldn't get at all off like a machine or some shit like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, I just kind of am struck a little bit odd by that. And I say that.
I think that I would ask you, like, do you know what comes next for me? Like, I have gone through the formalities of seeking asylum, and I'm a resident of the station now, and I have a medical appointment that Timothy made for me. But like, beyond that, what am I supposed to do now?
Like, that's a very interesting question. I think most of us life forms have that question at various, maybe constant times within our life. So I don't want you to be concerned by maybe the fear that might come up when you look at this universe. And like, I'm even gesturing and there's like some, you know, window panel with like stars and shit. Maybe the black hole is in there, right?
That's so awesome.
And I kind of give some philosophical stuff for a second. I don't know if I'm even answering your question, right? I'm just kind of
probably
like...
not. I
it's
think...
that like, what do I do with my life? Like, what next? And that's not
what next.
There's no
I'm functionally immortal, and I don't have like a job or really any hobbies. What do I do with myself? But I think that I would pivot and ask like. You are a researcher. There's got to be some sort of larger like network of scientists, right? Do you know if there are any specialists in AI that you could link me to?
Got it. You're looking for a job. And I turn and point like a chair in the back. And I'm like, yes, you can do communications and science. We have a role open for it.
Oh, thanks. That works.
Like, I also don't know if I'm answering your question at all, but that's what I say.
No, I'm looking for something to do. That, and I think in character I'd be like, yep, I wanted something to do. That works.
Nice. That's
awesome. I'd also like to point out on my character sheet, this is for those at home who are like, I'm following along in the Stars Without Numbers rulebook and trying to understand what's going on here, that my wisdom is 14 and my intelligence is 6. And that's going to come off sometimes because... as an alien life form, I don't necessarily think like the humans do. So I'm trying my best.
Nice.
Love it. If that's a good segue, I think this is when I'm going to sort of tip my hand a little bit about the focus I picked. And you hear a crash in the cockpit.
Oh, no.
Like something smashes into something. And I don't think you were far from it. You know, you were like in the hallway because you were gesturing at it. And you know, when we like see you come like to see like what this noise is, Hope is sitting in there and like sitting like against the Hope is sitting like in the captain's chair, but no, not in the captain's chair. She's sitting like against like one of the comm panels, like right in front of where the spike drive engagement is, and she's there and she's like in her vac suit. And she's looking very like confused and bewildered. and like spins around like, how in the hell did I get here? And then on the outside of the ship, we see that like the transponder is now like the green light that had still been on that she'd been checking on the outside of the ship. We see like the transponder is finally broken, and the green light has turned red, and there's like a little glow from the back of her helmet. Like there's like something, like some chip that's been plugged into the side of her head. It's now like fizzled. Like we see it, like just the embers of it sparking and dying as well. Nice. Yes, I'm stealing this very Captain Marvel.
That looks dangerous.
Nice.
She like pulls off her helmet, pulls off the vaccine helmet that breaks the seal, and is like, yeah, what? And she just sort of like collapses down into a chair. This, by the way, everybody, is my very crude mock-up of Squidly, and we'll get a nicer version of it at some point. But that's the ship. It looks like Squidly. So.
Do we have Squidly in Roll 22, or is it?
Yeah. If okay. You look in the character panel, it's in there.
Oh, I see Squidly. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So. Nice. There it is. Nice. Yeah, I think Timothy. Is bewildered, and he's like, I'm making an appointment for you too now.
Well, now I have a buddy to go to the doctor with. I don't think I would have ever been to like a human medic before.
Yeah, probably not, right?
Like, what's a human medic gonna do for me? Just gonna state the obvious. You have sparks coming out of the side of your head. Are you okay?
I think it's like the way you like, I mean, we've already seen that like, that Hope has like three implant jacks on the side of her head, and she's like, she's like interfaced with the spike drive directly before. So like, clearly she has cyberware, right? Like that's like, it's not functional. It doesn't give her any like mechanical advantages because that should cost too much, but you know, it's within the aesthetic, within the, within the color scheme of Hope. Having cybernetics is not surprising, but yeah, the fact that I think she's like smacks it like you are trying to put out a fire, like and then it just kind of like fizzles, and like whatever it was some chip that has like been destroyed now, like it's faded, and there's a little scar on her neck, and it's like this shape, it's like a scar, but it's like lines in the form of like circuitry, you know, that have been burnt in there. She's like, yeah, I don't know what. There's a little bit of the like what's in me body horror element, right? Like, what do you think? I don't know. Right. Like, she comes over to Atlas, she's like, I can't tell, does it look bad? And you know, it's like, I'm sure it looks bad.
It does look because Atlas wants to continue to seem friendly and non-threatening, and that includes honesty. It doesn't look the best, but I think that we can just put a bandage on it. You're gonna live.
Okay. How did I get here?
Maybe you should go sit down.
She starts taking off more of the back suit, right?
Like, right. Timothy asks.
Atlas just appearing somewhere that you did not expect to be.
What's that? I don't know.
This seems relatable to Atlas. Like, I showed up in an unexpected time. You showed up in an unexpected place. I feel like I'm with you on this one.
Nice. We can go to the medic together. Sounds great.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Timothy is making the appointment. He asks, "Does Dr. Long know you can do this?"
Do what? Does Dr. Long know I black out?
So you were outside and now you're inside.
Yeah. That's a really good point, Timothy. Do you know how I got here?
So you haven't done this before?
No, I was working on this circuit, and normally I'm really good at knowing which wire to cut, and I just had to guess. I just had to make it. I just had to take a chance, and then I felt this horrible pain in the back of my neck. And then next thing I knew, I was in here.
Well, he stops, and his eyes, his gaze kind of stares off for a minute, and then he comes back and he says, Well, Dr. Long and Raven had just got back on station and they're headed here.
That's the man that seemed like he was in a really big hurry yesterday, yeah?
Yeah.
What was up with that?
Dartha said that we should have patience and rest assured that large bureaucracies such as the Federation for the Federation for Exploration and Research just take longer, just take more time than they just take more time to process certain things than maybe either of us are used to.
Okay. But I mean, he's like your direct supervisor, right?
This is a great question. Tomes, when Hope came and was like near crash landed her ship, fleeing from defecting, came and was like, I have this knowledge that's gonna tip the scales of the war in this sector, or the Cold War in this sector. Did she first present that to you or to Dr. Long? Who was our first point of contact?
I think to both of us.
Okay.
And there's this impression that Dr. Long probably would have been the correct person to take over for, you know, being responsible or whatever for you. But I think we see like a little bit of that scene, and like when you leave the room or, you know, for a moment, I'm having a conversation with him and I'm like, you know what, it might be better if you put her under my jurisdiction, because it would prevent you from being tied to and blah blah, you know, like, yeah, because right. of political reasons or whatever. So I think in some ways, like, you know, you're listed under, you know, my area, right? Mm-hmm. As far as responsibility or something. I don't know if that answers your question, but like
that sounds great. Yeah. And just to color that scene a little bit, in order to fly Squidly on her own, Hope had to take a whole lot of pharmaceuticals to be able to take the ship on her own to like perform all the roles. So she looked real bad in that opening scene. You know, this is like Hope just drenched in sweat, eyes differently dilated, like one super dilated and one barely, like not at all, and just not in a good way.
But not just that she looked bad, we see that she does one of those things where she's looking at a couple of options and chooses one.
Yeah.
And we can see that Dartha is noticing that before she makes her statement to Dr. Long.
Yeah. Flashing back to answer Atlas's question, unclear. I know that both Dartha and Dr. Long, as I understand it, Dr. Long is our handler and is a super, handler isn't the right word. That's what I had. Dr. Long is Dartha's supervisor, but I report directly to Dartha. However, as the leader of our operational team, there's still this sort of functional bureaucracy, and Hope is like looking to Dartha to be like, am I getting this right? Because as new to all of this as Atlas is, like Hope is only like a week into this too. Like it just hasn't been very long for her either.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like trying to like check in with Dartha to make sure she's actually got the organizational structure right.
And so I think Dartha, I turn to you and it looks like I'm about to answer whatever this question is, but I don't. I'm like, oh, it looks here in the log like you entered the airlock 5 minutes ago and then you walked in here 3 minutes ago. And like before that, we saw there were some like blank things and we see Dartha's like typing in and adding elements that aren't there.
Nice.
And I turn and say this just so like Timothy and everybody can kind of hear, right?
Dang it.
And nice. I think I've answered your question, even though like I haven't really answered your question, right?
Nice.
Cover up. I'm gonna die.
Yeah, it's a great cover up. Yeah, no, I mean, I guess Timothy, schedule me for one of those checkups because clearly I'm blacking out.
Already done. You and Atlas.
She's like checking like the oxygen levels in her vac suit. Like she's like she's got it taken off, but she's like checking like, oh no, there was plenty of O2. Okay, you know.
Nice. I think at that point, Raven and Dr. Long,
uh-oh, Raven doesn't like me.
Yes.
No, she does.
They enter the ship. They both are in some sexy, high-tech, sleek uniforms. Okay. Maybe like a space cosmic blue, right? High-tech helmets, right? Raven still has her helmet on, kinda.
I think there's a sharp disparity between Hope's kind of clunky gear compared to this. Like take off the helmet, right? As opposed to like all slick and streamlined.
Yeah. Dr. Long, too, he's suited up the same way. They're armed. They as sleek and nice as the uniform is, you can tell there's some dust, there's some dirt,
wear and tear?
Yeah, there's some wear and tear that's recent on it, right? But they both come on, and Dr. Long looks at Timothy and he says, can you secure this room, please? And Timothy fumbles around because it's not his ship, right? He knows a little bit, but he's a little unfamiliar with it. And he kind of whispers to Hope, how do I shut the door?
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you so much, Jay, because I was totally going to have Hope be like, standing quarter B, enter access code 8 octo bravo. That'll lock all hatch doors and give you the only, because it's a circular ship, right? That'll cut off the ship into its various like 8-part sections that'll lock us into a part, and then he can stand guard in front of one of them. Technically, you really need two people because you need to be on either side of both doors, but like, whatever. I'm not going to, you know.
Right.
I think while this is happening, I like smile in Raven's direction vaguely, but do not make any further attempt to make eye contact.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, in fact, I think what I'll tell him is like what he can do to lock us in this little like section of the ship, and then also where he should be standing at the base at the loading base, so that if anyone were to try and come on, he would be able to intercept them. Right. That's pretty much best security measures that one person can do, I think.
Gotcha. So, nice. Yeah. He makes note of that, and he goes to execute those things. Dr. Long immediately apologizes for his behavior yesterday. I'm sorry that I was abrupt, short. I didn't mean to invalidate the recon efforts that you folks made. You came back with valuable information. I didn't dig deep into the reports, but I can tell that there are at least two other factions on the vault, which we thought was empty. The size of the vault is way larger than we anticipated. And we're still sifting through that data. And you brought back Atlas, is that right?
That is my name. Hi, nice to meet you.
And you were in cryo for 600 years?
I believe that I was...
Correct.
Yeah, yes.
And so, I will be honest, Dartha, I don't know, there's something hot I'm working on right now. I don't know what I'm going to have next for you. I think for the next day or two, if you could keep Atlas in your
jurisdiction. Out of trouble.
Yes. And until I saw your schedule for medical, until we know more, let's just say Atlas is a freelancer like Hope is, and we'll keep it like that until we can figure out what to do next.
So I think two things are happening here. One, as soon as Dr. Long comes in, and we have the sense like Dr. Long is Dartha's boss so mm-hmm. far, right? Mm-hmm. But we see that Dartha just like is standing next to him, one or two pseudopod like arms is like on his shoulder. It's very like chummy, right? It doesn't feel like a boss, you know, like subordinate relationship. And not because I'm not, in fact, Dr. Long's subordinate. It's just more like this is a weird like social friendship, and maybe it's a Dartha thing, right?
Right.
But also like I have a third pseudopod arm, and like as soon as Dr. Long is like, yeah, you know, have Atlas put in as a, you know, a contractor. Like, I'm already typing things on the keyboard behind me.
Nice. That's
happening. Awesome. Yeah.
That's typing what you do it behind your back.
I mean, you can sense through your pseudopods, right? Yeah.
Nice.
My eyes can kind of move around a little bit. Normally, I keep them kind of like in a blob, right? Like, I keep them in the front because, like, humans kind of like that. They don't like it when you're
No, we don't like that. You know.
I dig that you can, you could just generate more optic nerves in places as you need them, right?
You know.
Can you generate more eyes or do you stuck with two eyes?
To a very, like, limited extent. Like, I don't. You know, it's kind of like arms. I can't have like 50 arms. Like it's kind of like a human, right? Like there's only kind of so much your brain can kind of handle at a time. Okay. And it's kind of the same. Like, yeah, you've seen us with maybe 6 or 7 limbs, but I don't think you've ever seen us with more than that. And you definitely don't see somebody with like 10 arms all typing at the same time. Like we just, we don't do that.
Nothing that. So when Dr. Long referred to Hope as a freelancer, she like kind of like gets pensive and she's like, about that, Dr. Long, unrelated to the mission, which I think everything you have said is accurate, if not an understatement. The vault is massive. There are 2 well-entrenched forces within it. It's going to be dangerous to return to, but it's going to be even more dangerous if we let Erdos or Jan get a hold of it. So there's lots of urgency I feel there, but also I have a minor personal issue. And she sort of scans the room, even though she knows everyone who's in there. She's like, I was sort of expecting that when I left, you know, stealing this ship from Erdos Mining Core and flying off an illegal spike drive course to get here and to warn you about what they were doing, that they might respond with force, but instead they seem to be responding with bureaucracy, financial entanglements, debt structures.
Oh, yes. I forget you're a precog pilot. You have a buyback.
Oh, do I? Oh boy, howdy. Do I have a buyback? I thought I would be running or you would be helping me stay a step ahead of them. They've already caught me. They've already found me. Dartha was very helpful in preventing them from having too much personal information about me, but they know that I'm on the station and they want a lot of money that I'm never, ever going to be able to pay. And I know what happens when people don't pay these debts. They start friendly and then then the bounty hunters come.
Yeah, no, that
I'm like the way that I confirm this. I'm like, she'll never be able to pay that debt.
And they don't you're right. And they don't intend for you to pay it. That's the thing, right? They want you to come back.
Yeah.
Don't go back down to Enos Tull, the planet, right? They can't grab you on this station, no matter where you are on the station. They don't have the authority or the jurisdiction to do that, even with bounty hunters, right? So you saw claims and collectors. They give you paperwork. They give you the legal documents.
Oh, yeah, they gave me a compad, and I pick it up off the desk, you know, and I like pull it, and you know, we just see like they're not like hexadecimal. It's instead of like decimal numbers, it's like some character that clearly is like a number, but it doesn't look like a, you know, a 0 through 9 number, you know, some weird shape, but it's just like a bunch of them on the screen, right? Like, and it just conveys, you know, just stupid amounts of debt.
Right.
Like, we don't know the digits, but it's like 8 digits.
Yeah, we don't know. Right.
I also like that when Dr. Long is like, hey, they can't come here and get you.
Right.
I think Dartha in the background is like, and if they did show up, you could just go somewhere else, right? Just go. And like, we can tell she's kind of alluding to your weird, like the fact that you just showed up.
Yeah, right.
I get it.
Without.
Nice. He says, send those documents to legal. We'll negotiate the ship off of your buyback. And then we'll work out a deal with Iridos to eliminate whatever's left of your buyback.
I'm going to have to really take a... Atlas, you said you just learned all of human history in the last 600 years. Maybe you could help me, because I don't understand how people are this nice. And it seems unreal to me. So maybe you could help me understand this. You'll just work out a deal.
I was actually wondering what you mean by eliminate. When you say eliminate the rest of the debt, what does that look like, Dr. Long?
Well, Iridos and our legal team will have a conversation. Iridos wants something. We have resources. We'll negotiate something for the rest of what Hope owes Iridos, right? We can't, there's no argument you owe Iridos that money, right? They train you. You couldn't be a pilot without them, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And so it does us no good to argue about the claim of the money. And we know the money, the amount is ridiculous, right? You're priceless. Without you, we could not have gotten to the vault. We need a precog pilot to navigate the black hole space to even find that vault. We just saw the signals off of it. You actually got there. So yeah. It is in our interest to help you, right? Because you're the only precog pilot we have. So,
okay, now things are making more sense.
I want to say
like,
that
Hope's like, ah, you're not this altruistic person like Dartha is. You're just pragmatic, and you want to own the cool, hot, sexy. Okay, you know, Hope's like, okay,
Hope, and I'm like, in my understanding of human history, people are nice to you when you are useful to them.
And then Dr. Long says that is correct and eternal. Relationships stop being relationships when both parties no longer are getting their needs met. And we're all getting our needs met here. We have a relationship with Iridos, and it's a matter of making sure we're both still getting our needs met.
This is, by the way, where Dartha is like kind of in the background, like, you know, just kind of doing some stuff and kind of listening. And she's like, humans. Nice. Like, not in a negative way. She's just like, ha, it's so funny.
Aren't they cute?
He said, happy that he now fulfills a need aboard this ship, and now people have to be nice to him because he is useful.
Yes. Dr. Long gets ready to leave. He says, so you both have medicals. You both look to Dartha. She'll keep you on track. Try to stay low key. I'm going to leave Raven to look after you, Hope, just in case Iridos gets cranky. So she's kind of looking out for you until we get this resolved. Give me a day or two. I'll figure out what happens next.
Nice. I think I do like the boop, airdrop, boop thing where I like transfer the information to his data pad so he knows
nice.
My,
yeah.
You know, like, yeah, send it to legal.
Right.
Normally, you know, Hope probably wouldn't be so willing to divest her financial information like Dartha did.
Right.
But, you know, in this case, it's just like all bad. So
right, it's, all bad.
It's like there's nothing for you to take. I mean,
right.
You could take the ship, obviously, but like.
You definitely can't make it worse.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right.
That kind of debt, what are they going to do?
Go for it. You know, just flip coins and you'll have better credit than I do. You know,
nice.
I'm wondering if I can do something, because you mentioned Raven, right? Mm-hmm. Dr.
Yeah,
Long
yeah.
is talking about Raven's here to protect you,
right.
Hope. And I know we kind of left things off in not the best way. In fact, I took a negative perception from Raven to get
right.
something done,
yes.
to get Atlas to have access to Raven's gun last time.
Yes.
Yep.
And
yeah,
so I'm wondering, I want to try to, I think Dartha is like, oh, I'm going to heal part of what I hurt here and
right.
say, you know, to Hope, you can't be in better hands, you know, and I maybe use, like, I could be using like a talk skill or something like that, or I don't know
yeah,
what
yeah, yeah,
to
yeah,
try
yeah.
to like smooth that. But I'm
right.
also okay. Like, I kind of like it as a role, cause I'm kind of okay if it goes horribly wrong.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
I like that. I think it is talk. Talk.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's talk and lead. So this is talk.
The amount of RP we've done that it's like an hour deep and we're just doing our first roll.
So much fun. It happens. There was a lot left on... There was a right. lot left.
Unrolled.
There was a lot of things we didn't get to at the end of last session. So we're addressing. We're addressing.
Right. No, I agree. Your target is 14.
Yeah. I click on talk and then I don't. Oh, modifier. Yeah, you tell me it's like a stat.
No, it'll either ask you a it'll ask you for a stat or if you already have one assigned. Modifier right. is just if there's like a bonus or.
It says ask, so that means.
Yeah. So you pick. Oh yeah. So which stat is that? I assume charisma is usually.
Yeah, I was thinking it was charisma.
Okay. So I'll hit that button.
14, Jay.
Yes.
That's cool.
I know. So. Yeah, no, so 14. So what's happening is Raven is a pretty strong-willed individual, right? That on top of the minus 2 for the act of betrayal, right, gets you to a 14. Normally it wouldn't be a 14, right?
No, I think that's great. Yes, and like,
I was going to say, I could probably help you with that, but I don't think you can hit a 14 on 2d6.
That's okay.
Right. No, you need that 12 and then whatever bonuses you have on top of that, right?
Yeah. Right. This is great. I think I actually say something like in like what I'm trying to communicate is, you know, you couldn't have a better guardian than a Raven, right? But I think what comes out is something more like, yes, Raven is assigned to do that.
Right.
Like there's nothing like smooth or you know, just like stating some fact, and it makes it sound like Raven's just following orders and is a grunt.
Right. But I think you, Timothy, and Raven have worked together in the past, right? So I think Raven is aware that you're trying to smooth things out, right? I think you get that sense from her, right? Even though it comes out wrong, and you just make it easy for her to remain kind of poker face and... a stone about it. And then she says, I'm going to go change into my regular stuff and get cleaned up. You guys are going to be around?
How soon are we going to medical? Out of character.
That's up to you folks. I think Timothy has just has it in, but it can be whenever. I don't have anything on it. So it's not pressing.
I'm also thinking that now if I go to medical with Hope, then Raven's going to go with us and Raven doesn't like me. So I should just go by myself.
No, it'll be great. We'll all become pals on the way.
Okay.
I'm sure the journey will. Yeah. I think Hope's like, I'd like to go. I think it would be a good idea for me to get checked out sooner rather than later.
Then we'll go together. And then so once Raven is changed, let's head out.
I think she says, I'll just meet you at medical. How much trouble can you get in between here and medical, right?
Hopefully sure. None.
Right.
I mean, and to that extent, you probably don't really need to do a lot. I don't want to make you just sit in a waiting room. So come by whenever, you know, it'll probably take an hour or two, right? So
right.
We'll calm you. We'll let you know.
Perfect.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it occurs to Hope that like, yeah, what would you do at medical? You would wait in the waiting room, right?
Right.
Like, you know, that seems.
And Raven acknowledges Dartha on her way out too. So she's not cold. She hears you, but she's not meeting you halfway. Does that make sense? All right. But don't stop trying.
I have no intention to stop trying.
Your next attempt will be at a 12, unless you change your, right? There's ways to mitigate some of that, but.
Nice.
All right. And that's that. Unless we can cut to medical if you want to do that. If there's other stuff you want to jump on while you're here, let me know. We can We can do that.
Yeah, what are folks feeling like? Sorry, Dominic, I lost you. Say that again.
Oh, I said I'm curious about what happens at medical.
So yes. I love that. I love what's happening at medical. Maybe I can set the tone just for what will happen after medical by going like, you guys are heading there and Dr. Long is there and he said all that stuff. And I'm, you know, just before he leaves, I'm just like, yep, I'll keep them out of trouble. And he walks out the door and then like I punch in some stuff and I'm like, all right, time to take off and start heading, like, you know, we're heading over to, you know, it just like does not sound like we're taking it easy. Like we're going out somewhere, like, and heading in a trajectory toward the black hole or something. It just feels like, wait, what? Like that doesn't sound like taking it chill, but, and then, yeah, let's do medical.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I would love to have some conversation between Hope and Atlas. I think maybe a fun place for it would be like us both sitting in the waiting room waiting for our results. Like we've already gone there. We've already gotten all the tests.
Right.
They're about to come out. And we're just anxiously waiting to like find out what the hell is wrong with us or right with us or whatever. Right.
Like, why did you black out? What even is the value of doing a physical on my like body that is just hardware for my software?
Yeah. But like Atlas, you're like alive, and I don't mean that in a, I'm not talking about your intelligence, your sentience, but like your body seems to be living, kind of.
Yeah, it all works.
Just simulated? It works.
No, I have biological and technological components.
I mean, and you know, and like I have some obvious cyberware, and right, like there's a little.
Yeah.
Bit of a bridge there, right? I'm like,
So I see your body as biological with technological additives. I see my body as technological with biological additives.
Yeah, okay.
All of my biological bits are superficial.
I mean, they don't seem superficial.
Maybe I have like lungs and a heart and stuff, but like,
right.
I probably have like digestive organs and can eat, but don't always need to.
Dominique, if you're okay with it, if you're okay with it, and if you're not, just one for consent. If you're okay with it, that was Hope said that in kind of a flirty way. But if you'd rather it like not be a flirty way, that could just be straight.
I'm just oblivious as a person, like out of the character. That was me missing that.
Right. No, that's totally. I mean, that's totally cool. No, if you're like, I have like a heart and lungs or something like that. But
I love that Hope is saying that. Like, it doesn't seem superficial, but kind of like touching your muscles or something. Like,
she's certainly not coming on to you, but she is perhaps ascribing that your form is rather impressive.
Right. Right.
And you know.
That's awesome.
I think that Atlas is capable of blushing and will probably blush a little bit and would like thank you and would also say I think would like pivot to asking a question about your like cyberware and like where you got it.
This was part of training. This is part of spike drive training. It's faster. And part of metadimensional space complexities are that the three body problem can't be solved with an analytic solution, at least not by human brains. Maybe you can. So in order to create an n-body solution with like infinite cascading effects to mitigate metadimensional space, it's just faster if I can have a direct input feed to the ship's VI that can do all those calculations for me. And I kind of experience it like almost like music, where I just have to get the right notes. And if I get the right notes, that's a metaphor for the you know, all the n-dimensional calculations being in place. At least that's how I experience it. I know a little bit of mechanics. I really don't know how neurological cyberware works, but
that sounds super cool. And you said it was the three body problem.
Yeah, it's that you can't, if you have three objects, it's ultimately way more than three, but three is where it starts. So two objects will orbit with a predictable orbit, but once you introduce three objects of significant gravitational well, and we're talking about thousands of objects, but as soon as you do that, then it's very hard to predict stable orbits, which is needed for spike drive travel. So it's to solve that problem-ish. There's no elegant way to do it, at least not, again, for human brains, but if you have enough hardware behind you, you can just sort of brute force it, and that's what I do.
That's something that I would love to try and solve with my processing power. I think that would be a really fun challenge.
Sean did a lot of research into this in between games, so I'm totally happy to talk about.
So what I'll interject here is, since Atlas has downloaded the last 600 years of history, and for the folks at home, Atlas is built on technology that we can't replicate now. And we've lost that. We're trying to get back there. And so Atlas, you also know that they've taken a fall, right? There was a time that they didn't have to use spike drives. They were using gates, which were way faster, and you can move more stuff. And so now they're wrestling with a problem that, you know, was solved, right? Why aren't we? Well, and since you've downloaded the 600 years of history, you know the scream happened, and no one's has been able to restore the gates or anything. I think as you guys are having that conversation, Dr. Voya comes out, and she catches the last bits of that. Mm-hmm. And she says, superficial or not, you made us some stuff that we can't do anything with. So your human biological parts are normal and healthy and fine, but I don't know if that's true. So you're welcome to use our labs if you can do diagnostics and things like that on yourself.
I would know how to run some sort of like general full body scan.
She said, you're more exotic components. I don't even know if we can build those.
Dr. Voya, is there any experts on Atlas? Do you know the nature of your core?
It's a phylactery. It's kind of like a crystal. And I can partition it and leave parts of it in different places. And that means that if I die, my consciousness will automatically back up from the most recently saved version of myself. But I haven't been able to partition myself in a while, so I'm rather out of practice. And I think that it would take more equipment than I have access to.
Hope was like asking for like really like one or two word answer, and you gave all that, and so then she just turns to Dr. Voya and she's like, do you have any experts in that?
And she says, right? well Dr. Long has several papers he's written on phylacteries and true AIs being able to fracture and split themselves. That's what he's a doctor in. That's his specialty.
He never mentioned that.
That's odd.
Well, Dr. Long is an odd man, so what can I say?
But yeah, I would like to do whatever the, like, once Hope gets her results, do whatever the, like, my standard, like, self-maintenance check looks like.
Right.
To verify, like, they said I'm okay, but am I really okay?
Right, yeah. Right.
And take up Dr. Boya's offer to use whatever equipment I would need to do that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
But first, Hope's results.
All right. She looks at Hope. She says, you're fine. Or at least all the human stuff, all the normal baseline human stuff for you are all fine. Your vitals are fine. You're healthy. Your cholesterol is good. All that stuff is good. There's some things that are abnormal in your psychic spectrum. They're not dangerously normal. You could be manifesting new strengths, or it could be stress. And so we've taken those metrics and we're sending them to Bester and his team, because that's, you know, that's what they do. They deal with psychic health far more than we do here. We should know something in 24 hours.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Voya. That's, she says reassuring, but she's clearly lying. Right. It's just like, it's not at all, but she doesn't like know what else to say. So she's kind of like, and yeah, and she's worried that, I forget what happens. You know, she's worrying that she might've tortured herself, which is the psychic term for pushing past her limits.
Right.
And it can cause Mez, the, which I'm forgetting what Mez is short for. But it's basically when psychics get sick. I'm trying to find it in the metadimensional extroversion syndrome. So, you know, it's like, hey doc, do you think I have the bug?
Right.
You know, in this case, it's like, do you think I have the Mez?
And I think she says no. I've seen those spectrum charts, and you're not even close, right? It just could be stress, and you might just need some time off. You've been through a lot.
Sure. Okay.
Oh, bullet point number two. And she says, and we know from working with Eardos and the precog pilots, black hole mining, there's some trauma there for precogs, right? We know... there are folks that are experiencing some problems long-term. And Bester and his team, her team, they're working on addressing those things. It's not like cancer, but it's a health problem.
Yep. Very reassured. Thanks so much, Dr. Boyle. Come on, Atlas. Let's get your scan.
All right. I wonder, like, what would that look like for me to do, like, a self checkup?
You tell us. So at a player meta level, there's nothing wrong with Atlas, right?
Okay.
Right. But for color and fiction, we know that sometimes you're going to have to fix yourself anyway. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you tell us what that looks like, because you're the first of your kind to the rest of us 600 years later. We've never seen anything like you.
And by the way, I would love if one of your big issues here is that you can't charge back up to 100% because, you know, batteries shouldn't be plugged in all the time. And so you only charge up to like 96%. And that's kind of like an issue.
That would be okay. I like that, because I've just been charging for 600 years. I was just left like knocked out.
Plugged in.
I think I would have some sort of like data port like in my ear canal, so that it's not like visible that I have a data port externally, but it's also
nice.
Very relatable. Easy
enough to reach. But I also think that I would have some sort of like tablet that I could plug a cable in that would like give me all my like readouts on if my like more complex mechanical parts are okay. Mm-hmm. But I also think that tablet may have been lost or busted, and that the kind of data port that goes into my ear is now obsolete, so I can't really find any way of doing a more thorough scan.
Right.
We need to go back.
I'm imagining something like in Westworld, when like they plug the tablet into like the port in the arm, except without having to like cut open your arm to do it.
Right.
Like you just go into the ear instead.
We're gonna have to go back to the kennel to get your diagnostic equipment, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I can imagine the moment where you go to their lab and their equipment, and you grab a pad and you're like, this looks primitive, you know, and then you look at the jack and it's just like, it's USB-A when you use USB Delta Hydrogen Quad.
Yeah,
zero,
yeah.
Right? Like, you know, it's like
It's like when like Apple got rid of the headphone jack on the new iPhone. It's like, yeah. Where do I plug this in now?
That's right.
Yeah. Nice.
Humans.
So should we cut back to Tomes? Do you have anything? Should we cut back to returning the ship, or do you have anything that Darth is doing in the meantime? It sounds like you're gearing up for us to go on the next mission.
I mean, I love the idea that all this kind of like health trauma is going on, and I am like single-handedly, you know, undocking the ship and sending us off in a direction.
Is it road trip time?
It's road trip time.
Yeah.
Nice.
Are you, I say this because we need a full crew. We need a full allotment, like yeah. Minimum three, but preferably five to travel. Are you like getting Timothy and Raven on board so we can do another expedition?
Yeah, and I'm happy to also call you guys back to your stations. Like, I think all the stuff I'm doing right now is like, I'm not flying the ship. I'm really just like undocking it and doing like all this basic stuff.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm kind of happy for it to be like, oh, hey guys, I need you at the station in 5 minutes because it's necessary for like the functioning ship, you know? And like, I don't know if you've been informed necessarily that we're heading back in or what?
Yeah.
Or at least not at this rate.
I was expecting a chill day because—
Right. Well, Dr. Long was like, take a few days, chill out.
Right.
Dr. Long said that Dartha's job is to keep me out of trouble, and Dartha's going to get me directly into trouble right now.
And my response was, yeah, I'll keep them out of trouble. And like, this is within like, you know, an hour or two, this is where we're headed.
Right. This is also like the third lie you told to Dr. Long in that conversation, right? You're like,
it is.
Right. So we definitely know, yeah, I'll keep them out of trouble. Doesn't necessarily mean anything. I think hope's only consideration, and maybe we would talk about this over comms, or maybe like just you and me, Tomes, can like talk about it as players, because maybe it doesn't have to come to fiction, is that like we were seriously outnumbered there. And while I don't have any particular desire to go and like occupy the place and like fight people, I think we would be really well. Like, I think Darth in particular would probably like think to like, maybe we bring supplies, etc. And in fact, actually, Jay, one of the things we told, I think, Gordon was that we would submit to their like loved ones and like their families to let them know that they're there.
Right. So I'd like Vera to do that.
What was that?
You told Vera that.
Vera, yeah. So I'd like to be able to do that part so that we can go prepared with a little bit of like, oh, hey, we came back with supplies, we came back with information, et cetera, so that we're not just back into like, you know, they're shooting at us again situation that we were last time.
Right.
Can we, I think I got all like the address to send the communication to.
Right.
Is comms instantaneous, or is it depending on system?
So yeah, you guys are still on Terracon station. And I think if you look at the comms, you can tell. So in the Amar system, there are two planets, and you can tell that those comms are in this system.
Okay.
And so we're whoever she's contacting, they're in the system.
So these are people like Vera and them wanted communication with their folks. That's what you're saying.
Right.
So I love the idea that maybe, you know, we've sent off these, you know, communications, waiting to see if we get a response. Who knows how long that's going to take, right?
Right.
And, you know, Dr. Long just leaves and you guys go to Med Bay, and that's when we get the response, like the last response or a couple of these responses. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's when you call us, like, hey, get back to the ship, because the
response. No, like, as soon as I get the responses, I just like, okay, we got it, and I like undock. Like, I haven't told you yet. I'm going to tell you when I need you at the station, like in your seat, but like, you know, for me, I'm like, oh, that was quick. And then we undock.
Start coasting a little bit.
Yeah.
And we have the supply. I love the supply idea too. Like, we already had that set up and
cool. You know, I mean, it feels like that's all administrative stuff that
last time. So should we also take like extra med kits for bartering? Those seem useful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I mean. Is coming with medical supplies, food and water,
things
that they need, which feel a lot better than coming with guns to coordinate with
them. I also don't think that I was have just been walking around the station armed, I think I would have left my laser pistol in my quarters.
Right.
Which means that depending on how much advance notice I have of needing to be on the ship, I might end up going back to Hades Kennel unarmed. Which would be fun and tricky. I don't think I have a gun on me right now.
I think that's totally a good decision for you to make, like, oh, I forgot it, like, or I didn't have time or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I didn't have time to get my, like, I left my gun at my quarters this morning.
I mean, last session, Hope's gun was left in her gun locker on the ship.
Right.
Right. Because she doesn't normally carry a weapon either. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I guess what's the response like if I call Hope and everybody up to the station, like up to the, you know?
I think we just come because you said. I mean, what do you say? What's the prompt, I guess?
What do you tell us?
Like, yeah, I'm like, I think we have everything we need, and we got responses from the people that Vera and crew needed to hear from. So I think we're well prepared to go back to the station.
Okay,
so I all said, like, almost like, I think we're all prepared, as if, like, I'm asking you for your feedback, but we can see in the background the station's, like, floating away. Like, we're already made the decision, right?
Got it. So we're on the ship. I just want, for clarity, we're on the ship as you're telling us this. This is not, we're still on Tarragon Station.
Okay. No, this is after your medical appointment.
Yeah. Cool.
So
it sounds like you're going straight from the medical appointments to the ship.
Yeah. We got called back. Oh, Dartha needs us. Okay, sorry. Yeah. I was just having a hard time parsing it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you too now. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Dartha needs us back at the ship. Cool. We're there. And then...
While we're talking, we actually see, like, you don't even get the sense, I think, as the audience, like, Dartha is just talking to you about, like, yeah, we have everything we need. I'm so glad you got to go to your medical appointments. It sounds like everything went well. And, like, this whole time, like, the station's, like, moving away. You know what I mean? Like, this.
Hope's eye is tracking it as you're still talking. And she's, like, you know, like, watching this in the background. Cool. Should we take a break and then cut back to us docking at Hades Kennel 3? Because that feels like it's what we're doing. We're going back into the well.
I like it. Timothy and Raven are on board.
Yeah.
Oh, Raven doesn't like me.
Well, Raven can't leave Hope, so she's there, right?
God damn it.
I don't think Raven's gonna like Dartha after this either. I mean, there's already tension there, but, like, I don't think this is what she expected Dr. Long wants, but, you know, it's all good. You're a leader.
That's right.
I would just like to say that I, Dominique, am intimidated by Raven.
That's awesome. I feel like I'm doing my job.
Yes. Like, she's carrying this big-ass shotgun. Like, I'm scared of her.
That is awesome.
She's a scary person. Yeah, cool. Well, friends, it was great hanging out with you. We're gonna take a little break, and then we'll be back in 5, and we'll pick up inside the well.
Yay, I got to talk about metadimensional spike drive exploration and n-body simulations and space-time micro-orbital systems and acute formulas not being possible. Our analytic solutions not being possible, and relativistic momentum, and all sorts of other pseudoscience gobbledygook that I Googled and prepared, and Dominique did me the great kindness of asking what it was all about. So that was a ton of fun to garble all that pseudoscience silliness into that scene, and also to see. To see what Hope and Atlas see them both kind of feeling a little dejected, a little out of place, out of time, and eager to get back to Hades Kennel 3 to find out more answers. And so join us for the second half of episode 2, Stars Without Number.